So a favorite memory of mine from my childhood is going to my grandpa and grandma's house and cleaning. Yes. My brother would be assigned to go down to the basement to get rid of the spiders and restack some of the wood. And I don't know, he probably found a BB gun and started playing and different things. I was assigned to do the vacuuming and the dusting upstairs. It was always more fun to clean at grandpa and grandma's house. But the best part was when my grandpa would come up to me and he would hand me a little money and he would say, "Now, don't tell your brother, but I gave you an extra dollar." Right? Well, he would then go and do the same thing to my brother. And before we were even in the car on our way back home, we both knew about it and it gave us something more to fight about. And every time we were there for a meal, without too much coaxing, my brother and I would go in and we would wash the dishes, dry the dishes, put all the dishes away, right? But never, ever were we so eager to wash dishes or do any sort of cleaning at our own house. It was always more fun at Grandpa and Grandma's house. Why would that be? Ultimately, because I have a great love and appreciation for my grandparents, it wasn't hindered by those responsibilities and chores and obligations that we sometimes have at home. So the disciples have asked Jesus, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread for others to eat?" Now you notice Jesus doesn't ever actually answer this question. But I think the disciples are asking the wrong question. Last week, Pastor Tom started off our month of talking about the ELCA's mission statement, right? God's work, our hands. And to sort of pick up where he left off, not only do we do God's work with our hands and our feet and our mouths and our eyes and our ears, but we also do God's work with our money, right? Now, I'll tell you a little story. I was with my parents yesterday, and they asked what I was preaching about, and I said money. And my parents go to church every week. They're very active in the church. And my dad literally rolled his eyes so far that I thought they were going to roll out of his head, right? I mean, they're like, "Oh, 2 minutes in, no one will be listening." So prove them wrong, okay? I'm talking about money today. The disciples wanted to know if Jesus expected them to spend their money on enough bread to feed all those people who had come to hear Jesus speak. Now, we can assume that the safe answer was, "Yeah, of course you are." But it's not just about the amount of money, right? We do a lot with money. In fact, it seems like everything requires money, whether it's something that needs to be done or something we want to do for fun or a way in which we help someone else. Money is generally somehow in there required. And money and wealth are common subjects throughout our Bible. In fact, the concept of the tithe, the 10% of your belongings, that's biblically based. That started from the Old Testament. Now, of course, we can all play the game. Well, is that 10% before or after taxes? Or is that 10% before or after I pay the bills that need to be paid? 10% was the biblical interpretation of the amount based on the lives of the people in that day, right? But it's important to note, just like Pastor Tom mentioned last week, that everything in our Old Testament is referring to legality, right? And offerings and sacrifices were no exception to that. Offerings and sacrifices had to be done in a certain manner. It had to be a certain animal. There was all these rules and restrictions for how the offerings and sacrifices to God were to be made. But we've come to learn through Christ's teaching that God is not a legalistic God. God doesn't want us to just go through the motions, to say the right words, to do the right things so that we can be in God's good graces. God wants us to be God's hands and feet out in the world because God has given us the heart to do it. God has shown us the love that it takes to feed the hungry and serve the poor and clothe the naked. Tithing, giving, is not just about a duty. It's not just an obligation. If we go and throw our money in the offering plate because we think we have to or because we'll feel guilty if we don't, then God says, "Your money stinks and I don't want it. You might as well just go burn it," right? It's worthless in God's eyes. So back again to the disciples' question. Do you expect us to go out and buy food to feed all these people who didn't bring anything with them? If we try to use logic to answer this question, we would never, ever again feed another person or give a dime to anyone in need, because we could come up with all good logistical reasons why it doesn't make any sense. But God doesn't work in ways that make sense. God works in miraculously loving ways that are beyond our understanding. So if we try to logically work out how many people could be fed with those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, the disciples would have walked away. They would have given up because it would be impossible. But the disciples brought those loaves and those fish to Jesus, not because they were trying to prove him wrong. They weren't trying to say, "Here, Jesus, good luck." They brought this food to Jesus because they trusted in all that Jesus had taught them. They trusted in Jesus' teachings about God's grace and mercy. The disciples didn't want to spend their money. They didn't want to spend their money on food for others. So here's this thing that we have, right? One of our most earthly treasures, so to speak. The one thing that we always want more of, always looking for ways in which we can save it, always looking for the best ways to use it for ourselves. And it's the thing that everything seems to depend on. And just like the disciples, we protect it dearly. The disciples knew that it was ridiculously illogical to try to feed all these people. But God shows us that it's not about how much we give, but about the how and the why we give. God shows us that whether we give a little or a lot doesn't matter. That's not the point. But if we give trusting in God's work, if we give knowing God is in our hearts and with our intentions for God's glory, big things happen. If you've looked at our church budget, pretty cheap around here, pretty frugal, right? We don't spend too much on ridiculous things. And there's all sorts of ways that we could become curmudgeons and not shine God's light into the rest of the world. But one of the things, if you haven't noticed, one of the things that is in our budget is that we make sure that the parking lot over at SOS, the food pantry in town, stays clear in the winter, right? We pay for the snow removal. Big deal, right? Does anyone even notice? Who knows? Now, if you think about it, the people who go to the food pantry to get their things that they need, they can get it with drier feet. And the donations that are made can be delivered because the parking lot is clear. But does it make a big impact in the world just by clearing the driveway and the parking lot over at SOS? Not logically. But it makes a huge impact when we're talking about God's work in this world, because not only does it impact those people who are there, but it then ripple effects through all of the world around us. We don't do this because we have to. It's not an obligation. We don't do this because it makes us feel better. Do any of you even know that we cleared the parking lot, paid to have it cleared? Okay, well. But we don't do it because it makes us feel better. We don't do it because we think we're going to be rewarded or that we'll be more blessed if we do this, right? We do it because God gives us the hearts and the resources to take care of it. So the question is not whether or not God expects us to use our money to love others. The question is, are we using our money with God's glory in mind or our own glory? Are you using your resources and your money, your possessions, to make yourself feel good? Or are you using it as a sign of God's love? And we can do that in every way in which we use any of our money. We use our money with God at the center, with God at the focus, for God's glory in this world. God's work, our hands, our feet, our mouths, our eyes, our ears, and our money. Amen.